Hello folks, welcome to this and the Random Crap Podcast. I'm your host Lee Sands, aka Rado Rob Ranger. Seriously, I've been doing this for 5 fucking years now. I feel like an old man. Hey, tonight I'm joined by...
Adam, also known as Statcraft.
People, what? What?
I forget what we say.
Your name.
Oliver. We don't give you
a name.
That's the one.
Yeah, Oliver never let me cross at their place.
Right, I'm sleepy. Leave me alone.
In exchange for food. Which makes me sound like a horrible person. Give me a bed for the night and I will feed you. But to be fair, that was a really nice pizza though. Good call on the Pizza Hut. I thought the cheese thing was really nice though.
Yes,
yeah,
it was
nice.
Mm, that was nice. Welcome to the cheese cast, folks.
I was going
to
say, you're going to review restaurant cast.
Yeah, well, they didn't cut the pizza up quite as nice as it should have been.
Exactly, I had a slice stuck together. It's like, what was it you said, Oliver, on one slice? They sort of jet up at one point.
The crusty thing is like a whole bunch of little cheesy sausage roll things, and they started cutting up to the end and discovered it was in the... slap in the centre of one of these rolly bits and went, sod it. But didn't cut any further.
I'm trying to remember now. One of the episodes I did with you guys, A Town Called Panic, did I ever tag you guys in the Facebook post?
Don't know. You might have.
Did I actually post that on Facebook?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
Oh, flip, I don't think I posted on Facebook. No wonder my listeners had, like, not turned up for that episode. I was like, what the hell's going on? It's a really good film and we gave it a positive review. Why the fuck was no one listening? Anyway, so whilst we were eating pizza, we were watching the Godzilla film, folks.
Yeah.
And it was so fucking forgettable that we decided to talk about the 4 episodes of Power Rangers instead. That we watched, like, what, 3 hours ago?
Oh, at least.
Longer.
Well, should we do a quick micro review of Godzilla?
Oh, yeah.
It won't take 5
minutes. Yeah.
Okay, should I sum it up?
Right, it was Godzilla versus King...
Ghidorah.
Made in 1991.
Yeah.
Take it away, Oliver.
Talky, blurry photo of Godzilla, talky, time travel, let's go outside with the people trying to kill us and the giant angry dinosaur, talky, 20 minutes of action scene at the end. There's your film!
You know, amazing sound effects.
The whole film was several paradoxes within paradoxes within paradoxes.
It was
the entire
so
premise was awful.
Let's not forget, they said the word dinosaur like 100 times.
They did kind of tail off.
Yeah, once Godzilla once the dinosaur became Godzilla, it was then just Godzilla.
They did still reference it as the dinosaur occasionally, but the dinosaurs per minute dropped by almost a factor of 10.
The thing is, so every new character got introduced, they had to re-explain everything to this new character.
So basically, the whole premise was explained about 50 times.
And I can't believe we haven't mentioned the best actor in that movie.
What creepy face rate guy? Wet face guy.
Yeah, him. M11, aka the Terminator with Boss. That scene where he turns into a good guy, allegedly, goes up to the guy's house, smiling, and points at him, he's like, go away.
With his creepy rape face.
I have got
you. He's like, oh god, no. I'm going to have to call you back. My anus is in danger.
Okay, so he's a robot they built. Why did they build him with such a creepy face?
So, why?
I can't feel sad for the actor because he went to Japan to become, because he was a professional baseball player. He was hoping to get a spot with a Japanese team. That failed, and then he went and made that movie. But no, I think he deserves an Oscar for the scene they ripped off from Terminator.
Yeah.
It looks like he's running, they saw a camera in his face.
Oh god, it's a creepy, creepy look.
They can like put black paint on his face to make it look like a burn mark. It's like,
he's doing running motions at the moment. Look, he didn't move his legs. He just seemed to glide.
But speaking of weird running motions, that's a great segue to like our Rangers Sinister and the Giant Robot, but the Gorilla Thing one. Alright, let's beat it up! So folks, yeah, because I'm an arsehole, essentially, I say to guys, Power Rangers Jungle Fury, cue the booze and the hisses from the audience.
Somehow sense Matt hitting his head on something somewhere.
How have we sat through 4 episodes?
Not even the best episodes. I mean, yeah. God, it really says something about Jungle Fury. Whenever fans talk about it, they always say the same thing. Oh yeah, that was the one with the 2 good episodes out of 32.
I just want to say, in regards to that movie, physics just weeps.
Power Rangers or Godzilla?
Power Rangers mostly. Godzilla is just dumb enough that you can kind of ignore it. That the entire premise is silly enough that you have to apply suspension of disbelief. But for Power Rangers, it is meant to be set in the real world, just with monsters.
Just to finish off with Godzilla, though, before we go into Power Rangers, I will say this. I thought Mechagodzilla was kind of cool looking in places.
Yeah.
Then he looked like he had a pot belly with that armour. Like he'd been drinking beer in the future.
Dino boobies.
Yeah, at least it covered them up.
Yeah.
Alright, so what's the score out of 5 for Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah?
Forgettable.
Then? Forgettable, okay, Adam?
I nearly fell asleep.
Okay, Heather?
So that makes it maybe a 1 at best?
I'm going to be generous and give it 2 out of 5.
There are parts of it that were alright. If they'd have cut out a good 40 minutes of the repetitive... Cause
if they didn't make that 2 hours long and just make it to about an hour, it would have
been a lot better. And there's so many times where they repeat the same thing
and
three or four times over.
There's no excuse of, they made movies more like that back then, because there's some brilliant movies from like the 80s.
Even the other Godzilla films I can recall not having that much talking.
Destroy All Monsters is particularly a favourite of mine. And that's the one that ends with like about 10 or so monsters at the end taking on aliens. And about 5 of those monsters beat the shit out of Ghidorah between them. Well, you got 2 of them, are grabbed on the heads, and Godzilla's just like neck stomping Ghidorah's neck, snapping them. I remember that one, that's quite a good one, but yeah. Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, folks, 1991.
Moving on.
Or moving back, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Technically back, but just to clarify, folks, we basically watched 4 episodes of Power Rangers Jungle Fury. I went to my local CEX one day, they had this on the sale for £5, and I was thinking, well, I'll probably never buy the fucking South Pack 2 release, and this is meant to have one of the good episodes on it. So I thought, why not? So I got Power Rangers Jungle Fury, Path of the Rhino, and it says on the front, get ready, all Power Rangers unite. Well, the 5 in this season, at least.
That sounds like any other generic Power Ranger tagline.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, synopsis. Jungle Beast, Spirit Unleashed. Get ready for the ultimate class of the Jungle Fury Power Rangers. Max forces with the wicked spirits of the villainous Dicey Clan in Path of the Rhino. Sifting from everyday workers in the pizza parlor, the world's most powerful fighting force, fascinating, you could say, Jungle Master Mode. Hey, that's not what the Samurai Pizza Cats say. The Power Rangers are in for the battle of their lives, and the Earth hangs on the balance. Even after learning their slew of secret techniques, will they be able to triumph over the relentless forces of evil?
Right.
AKA, weird Kevin Sorbo lookalike and creepy chameleon lady.
Yeah, I'll say that the thing opens with Douchey McDouchebag going into the pizza parlour, pretending to be a health inspector, and douching the place up. After this, he's a douche, and wonders why they won't let him join their little club.
Let's not forget that when we first see him, he's coming off a boat and he does a magic trick to no one in particular. I think that might have helped the pizza parlor. Hey guys, I can do magic tricks. Look, yeah. Now you see it. Stab someone in the head. Now you know.
But then, you skip on a little bit. He discovers they're Power Rangers. And he goes, oh, I want to be one too. I was meant to be.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, okay, no. You're not allowed to be a Power Ranger. Piss off. And then skip forward a little bit again. You have Dozy Bint Woman. is that the one that doesn't get to be a Power Ranger? Because you're too right. Terrible. Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
Folks, Dom shows up. This is weird because he knows that all Polyswar students are Jade's a Polyswar master. So he acts shocked when he sees them fighting the evil monsters that their ancient martial arts group has been training for centuries to battle.
Yeah.
But I think he's shocked because they've got Power Ranger powers now.
Possibly. But, you know, she goes and stands on a white line, looks up at a sign, and stares at it, waits about 20 seconds... while it snaps, starts swinging slowly, and just starts going, ah! And then crazy douchebag, throws a lightsaber from his arm, jumps forward and cuts a hole in the sign so it falls around them, and then they go, oh yeah, you're okay now, have this morpher that we just happened to be carrying with us and help us fight the bad guys.
It's a silly little bracelet that becomes this weird, hand he has to hold with a giant blade on it.
Yeah, who just carries an extra morpher? Oh yeah, by the way, we just happen to have your exact morpher for the Rhino guy on us right now, even though we told you there's no way you're ever becoming a Power Ranger.
Do see my
douchebag? To be fair, the geeky girl was just, you know, doing her acting role. There's the line for the cue.
Yeah.
It's not her fault she got there too soon, obviously.
Well, Fran's entire personality is pretty much we're introduced to Rats. He's always in the pizza place eating pizza because his parents are never home, and she's always got her head in the book. So basically, imagine Twilight Sparkle still in Canterlot, but with no Spike and no Celestia. Just sitting there reading books in the pizza parlour all day long.
Ponies don't eat pizza.
Well, this one. Hey, pizza. Hey, pizza. That's the only way I can describe Fran. She's the nerd. She just reads all day, the closet's sitting.
She didn't seem to have that much character.
And RJ hires her, so someone's watching the pizza place while they go and fight the monster.
You, do the job of 5 staff members while we go and fight these
guys. Way up, Bernie.
Yeah.
So, Dominic ends up saving her.
How they run that business is, God knows.
I'm pretty sure RJ's in the red in some places. I think they say that in the one episode.
Oh. Before we get any further.
Yeah.
Before he gets allowed to be a ranger, showing her how terrible he is and how cock-uppy he is, he gets told to refill the pepper pots. He uses hot chili pepper. Yeah, fine. Mistake. It's a prat. Blah, blah, blah. The next scene is everyone in the pizza parlour basically emptying a pepper pot to a pizza and then running out puking because of, you know, the hot chili pepper that's now all over their pizzas.
What?
Who in the hell coats their entire pizza with half a pound of chili flakes or pepper. Even if it's not
even
chili flakes,
it's regular pepper.
Yeah, it will have the same effect. Why would you do that?
I was going to say, who put pepper on a pizza?
Yeah.
New Zealanders, no. American.
New Zealanders do not. I lived in New Zealand. You do not go to a pizza restaurant where it's 5 times more expensive than popping down the road to bloody Kmart or whatever. So, Pack and Save. You go to Pack and Save, it's 5 times more expensive than popping to Pack and Save and picking up your own pizza. You don't put cheap pepper over it and ruin the stuff you spent half a day's paycheck on.
Dude, how much did we just spend on the pizza?
Yeah, but we didn't shove pepper on
the pepper on the pizza. And that's probably cheaper than Power Rangers McTwat Head restaurant, honestly. No pizzeria on a beachfront is going to be cheap.
I don't think they're on the beachfront, were they?
It was like a dock or something. They were definitely on the water.
Well, the city's on the coastline where there's a dock, but they had to drive to the dock, so...
But, you know, when you look out the front window, you see the water.
Oh, yeah, it's called Ocean Bluff. Yeah. I forgot about that.
So it's definitely coastfront property, so it's going to be really expensive. And unless you're charging through the nose for this pizza, you're going to go out of business in a matter of days. So, yeah.
Well, considering how weed the
corridor
is obviously on, it means you might not have business then.
You know what I like most about the movie? The explosions that have no sense whatsoever. It was in the background of the fighting for no particular reason other than it looked super awesome.
Not to sound like a douchey nitpick, we just basically watched 4 episodes back to back, though, so it kind of feels like a movie. So I would just want to quickly explain that because I know there are listeners out there who go, but there was no parents to think of any movie. What are you going on about? I don't think you'll be a fan.
The first 3 episodes were all together as one story arc.
They were a story arc, yeah.
They kind of. You know, watched it so close together, it just felt like a movie.
I mean, if this had been made in the 90s and released it straight on the VHS, it probably would have been like those
three
episodes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for listeners and that, because you watch shows and there's always one guy nitpicking.
Well, that's internet trolls for you.
I mean, look at the Stars of Critic. They made a character to address the complaints. Do you see that nitpicker, whatever his name was? God, I've met people like that in real life.
Who hasn't?
Doing it wrong.
I mean, I know a guy who apparently hates new Doctor Who, like all of it.
Yeah.
Because he said, no, he didn't act like the Doctor before the Time War. This Time War didn't make sense. The Time Lords could just do this. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Stop ruining Crystal Eccleston for me, you bastard! I get out of my house!
To be fair, until they actually fully I don't know, did they make the Time War in a book?
No, they might be touching on it. I think they've touched on it some in comics, but like, from a distance,
but
sideways.
They fully explain it, you can't say all they can.
But they've also stated that the Daleks adapted to... equivalent tech to the Time Lords.
Yeah.
So anything the Time Lords did, the Daleks could counter. And it wasn't just the Daleks. You had the Nightmare Child.
Whatever that was.
Yeah, the what's it, Cascade? Cascade
was something created from the Time Lord. The Nebula. And then you had the Nesting Consciousness.
Yeah.
You had the Wood People who evolved into humanoids. Form thanks to the Time War. There were others, but I'm sure they'll do it one day. But anyway, back to Power Rangers.
My point was going to be, Eccleston's a hack because he stopped at the end of the first of the new season because he didn't want to get typecast as Doctor Who.
And now all we know him as
is Doctor Who,
and that one guy from the G.I. Joe film.
Not Doctor Who. It's the Doctor.
Yeah. Well,
for nitpicking sake.
Yeah. It was credited as Doctor Who.
No, it's the Doctor.
It was for a while.
Well, they were wrong.
Yeah, well, Eccleston was wrong.
Mm.
Like, he's not. I liked Eccleston too, to be honest. He's not that bad, but he's a bit.
I really wish they did more with him, yeah.
But. Yeah. But, anywho.
Moving on.
Yeah, sorry.
Moving on. I'm not a nerd.
It's alright. Moving on, what happened? So he gets his powers, and then basically Dom starts having dreams about Master Mao. Control dagger!
The control dagger looks
like a.
Well, aside from being really stupid, so it would cut your fingers off when being shut, it has no hinge. The only bit that could conceivably possibly be a hinge is actually at the tip of the blade when it's open. It looks nothing like it does open as it does closed, and it's changing between a cutlass, a dagger, and a cookery.
Yeah.
This is a physical model. How do you cock that up?
Simple.
Don't try.
Simple. The executive producer and the head writer, who was also in charge of continuity, went to LA for the writer's strike. Who was in charge? Koichi Sakamoto. What does he like to do? Explosions!
Yes, but to cock-ups like that, you have to specifically make three different models of the same thing, and then give the actor a different one, even in the same scene. They threw it, and when they picked it up again, it was a different model.
Magic! Wizards did it!
Speaking of wizards, there's a subplot going on, though, after the crystal eyes. Apparently these are like crystal artifacts that look like animal eyes that contain the souls of the fallen Phantom Beast generals who fought during the Great Beast War, and when they died, they exploded and somehow they reformatted into these little crystal
beasts. Pretty sure they already did a Beast War series.
Yeah, Waspinator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the jet one. What's his name? Oh, the giant jet with the crane head. One of those general dudes.
I can't remember, it's been a while.
What, Beast Wars?
Yeah.
Did he actually turn into a jet, or...?
Yeah,
General. Beast Machine.
Yeah, that's the one, it's a sequel.
I've got that somewhere.
Yeah, I've got... Completely sidetracked.
Something. But yeah, that was the big joke when they started calling it the Beast Wars and Jungle Fury. When's Primal going to sew up?
Yeah, what the buggery is Jungle Fury anyway?
I don't know.
Are they angry?
I think this is the year they didn't really try. They were like,
because animals are furious.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, people have mistyped on forums in Jungle Fury, so it's probably fits.
Well, I'm sure there's lots of,
That gets better.
We're grateful for that.
Well, it gets better in the Japanese version, Geki Ranger. The Mentor's a giant talking cat instead of the stoner.
Okay.
Yep.
Can we...
I like the fact the Blue Ranger, changes in height.
quite a lot, actually.
Yeah. And he hooks up the Yellow Ranger at the end of the series, so they get it on.
In fact, it's probably why he's not on the front cover.
No, he is on the front cover. No,
that's the violet one.
The Blue Ranger. It's the wrong shade of blue.
But it's the wrong shade.
Oh, it's definitely purple.
No, it's the Blue Ranger. It's just the wrong shade of blue.
Are you sure? That's not blue.
There's violet there, and there's blue next to him. Yeah, that's the wrong shade of blue.
No, that's violet. That's definitely purple.
You might be colourblind there a bit, Lee.
Or it could be just the wrong shade in general.
In fact, that's still purple as well.
Exactly, they got the colouring fucked up on the DVD case.
Yeah,
I was about to say that the Blue Range is too small.
As far as I can tell,
He just suddenly gets high.
Either way, they're excluding one of the Power Rangers from the front cover, like it doesn't exist, even though...
even though the white guy only just turned up in this...
He's on the fucking DVD.
He's the main dude.
It's called the Path of the Rhino, because it's all about
his destiny.
It's all about his destiny. My destiny, my destiny, my destiny.
Yeah.
Even though we kind of, like, they don't bother to focus on him at all after the three-parter.
In fact, they barely focus on him in the three-parter.
Except when doing the douchebag.
Did you want to talk about the jetpack?
Yeah, the whole thing is just physics says no. Your motorbike attack thingy. Okay, yes, it's a motorbike. It has weapons on it.
It has googly anime
eyes. Ignoring the googly eyes, that doesn't really matter. To make your attack, you flip over, so there's one wheel in the middle and one wheel backwards, with all the way forward. The power transmission is at the back. So what happens is, you're going along at stupid miles an hour, because you're charging in to do this attack that glows flames and crap, so you've got to be going pretty fast. It flips forward. Oh, look, you've suddenly got nothing keeping you balanced, and nothing pushing you forward. You tip, the bike flips, and the Power Ranger snaps his neck. This is what happens in reality. No.
And considering it's Casey, I'd be quite happy to see that happen.
There was a massive explosion, and that's how they'll deal with it.
Yeah.
You all know there was a funny fan theory in regards to Bruce Calisera PR. That's the guy, that's the executive producer of this season. Before he did this, he worked on Jet Jackson. Which is kind of ironic, we mentioned that after what happened the other week. Sadly. Was it last week or the week before?
What happened?
The actor from Jet Jackson was found dead.
I didn't even know about that.
He played Servo with Smallville.
Oh, I vaguely heard something about him.
Yeah. I heard nothing about that.
It's on that Ruined Your Childhood Facebook page.
Ah, fair enough.
Basically, the thing about the theory was, after Mystic Force, the Rangers seemed to get more and more gayer for the Red Ranger. Well, the Red Ranger seemed to get more and more homosexual on the way. Like, you had Nick in Mystic Force, who was like, he's like a character from those badly written fanfics where the super hard guy is secretly gay. Then you had Mac in Operation Overdrive, who turned out to be a robot built by his dad. His single father dad, who never married. So, you know, instead of building the robot wife, he builds the robot teenage son.
Creepy.
And now we get to Casey, who to me looks like someone threw a male's Bratz doll into the freaking monster machine from MMPR, and he comes out. To the point that a lot of fans actually said, yeah, I think we figured out how RG lets them stay in Red 3. It's not because they work for Jungle Karma, it's because Casey's doing them favours under the table. In fact, the biggest joke on Razorcast was, look at this guy! He looks like he takes it in the face daily! We thought Mac was gay! Look at Casey! In fact, you remember when I mentioned they got the jetpack things from like three ghost spirit things?
The jetpacks that also don't work with physics because...
Like, to get them, they had to do these tests, like these three tests to overcome their fear. Each of the three rangers had a test, they had to overcome their fear. Theo was scared of basically being on the X Factor in case he lost his voice. That was pretty much his fear. He overcame his fear by singing terribly, but because he actually got the courage to sing, even though it's terrible, he still overcame his fear. Lily, I think that's her name, I can't even remember the name of the other one, Lily I think, her fear was being covered in cobwebs and surrounded by spiders. And I think she got over it by just ripping off the cobwebs and walking out the room. So it's sort of a legitimate fear, being scared of spiders.
Yeah.
Casey, Casey was scared of the monster in his closet. How does he overcome this fear? He gets up from behind his bed, opens the closet, and walks in. He actually walks into the closet. Our crystal ball may be carried later and walks into a closet.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, coming out of the closet isn't literal.
No, he wasn't coming out of the closet. He was going deeper into the closet.
That's where it all began.
But yeah, let's talk about those magical jetpacks you get from ghosts. So, on the guys have two jet nozzles on the shoulder blades at the back that look like they could work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
And no, they're pointed at the right angle for forward and upwards thrust. Yeah. They'd be like jump packs, really, so they can leap forward. The other ones are all on their sides, pointing straight forward. How is this helpful in any way, shape, or form?
Do they want to go backwards?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Full tilt cartwheel?
No, because then they'd just have forward, you know, momentum straight back. So if they try and spin, they'd just go in one direction. It's not going to help anything apart from running away.
I love how I love how, as we were watching it, we were debating where the hell they were getting the fuel from for these. And then we just said, screw it, magic.
I was going to say, was this today?
But then, of course, you've got the woman's jetpacks.
Just two in the breast.
Yeah, she has the ones on her back, and then stuck to her boobs.
Just under her boobs.
No, they were on...
No, they are on their boobs.
So if they fire, the thrust required to lift a human is going to explode her breasts. She's going to be hospitalised.
Okay, they're all going to be hospitalised. As soon as they use these...
No, the others are in places that can take the strain.
Yeah, but
she's going to need a mammarectomy as soon as she tries to take off.
If she only does like a light thrust, then it was pushed them close together. So it could just be like a flirtation type thing.
Yeah, it could be. But if it's enough to lift her off the ground, that's it. It's all over.
Okay, so...
Well, apparently she didn't need boobs.
I also love the crocodile monster itself. So before it transforms...
That's after it transforms!
Before it's just as hilarious as after, though.
Wanghead crocodile.
I also love how his crocodile head gets bigger when he transforms. Oh, God, the monsters in this, what did we have? We had a crocodile... And then we
ostrich.
Had... Ostrich. Oh, yeah, ostrich. That spat out another ostrich egg. And then after that, I think they were...
We didn't have any other minions. It was all the big guys.
The generals. But the one with the pistol eyes episode, what was the monster in that?
It was one of the generals.
Was it? Oh, yeah, Gozaka.
Yeah.
And there was the graboids as well.
They weren't working for the bad guys there. They were eating everything. Even their Dicey's pussy. Yeah, the Camille, chameleon lady. Yeah. I'm Camille, I'm the chameleon fiend monster, do you get it? Sorry folks, quick drink.
Put down the vodka.
I think I needed it, especially what we're about to watch next.
That thing.
Yeah. We're not going to spoil it, folks. That's going to be a surprise.
I'm sure it'll be better than the stuff we've watched so far. It is by Gainax.
That's got your hopes up, hasn't it?
No, this ain't by Gainax.
Oh, it's not by Gainax. Okay, no, well, that's
Beautiful
that.
Yet Ugly... The Beautiful Yet Ugly World Girl or something was by Gainax. This isn't.
Okay, the adverts we saw were by Gainax.
This thing about...
Pretty much every advert there was Gainax.
I think some of it was.
No, all of them. They were all Gainax, and most of them were put out by ADV.
Well, this one's been... But what we're about to watch after this is by Gary, the guy who's famous for three things. Boobs, gore, giant robots, and often you get all three in one.
Do we get all three in one?
Not in this one, we just get boobs.
No giant robots.
No giant robots.
Very disappointing.
Yes,
no. No gore?
No gore.
It sounds like there should be gore.
Well, no, the 1880s for the reasons. Hint, folks, hint! Anywho, so basically, as we were saying, they get later on attacked by Grablords because they're looking for the Nexus, where they get the control dagger after shenanigans.
As in, giving it to a lady by putting it in her laundry rack.
By mistake, because Theo's an idiot. They're all idiots in this.
Well, but yeah. He learnt a valuable lesson.
It's probably all the weed. Yeah.
The 20-minute fight sequence while they're trying to stop the guy from using the dagger to open the mystical lock thing.
Yeah.
Which he never actually needed to do.
Yeah, well, he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they spent this time fighting, and by rights, being that when this fight started, he was almost there, he should have done it and buggered off by that point. Yeah. He should have been gone for a good 15 minutes.
But he was dawdling.
But no. But he's about to put the dagger in the lock thing. The rhino dude comes up and goes, no. So, a centimetre.
Yeah.
A centimetre from having it in the key, when he shouts out no, he stops, he looks away, and he pulls the dagger out. No. Push it in. Sod you. No, I'm going to stop and monologue for a while.
And then he puts it in, but it just rejects him. Can't even get the tip in.
No, he only got the tip in. And then it went off and he threw over the other side.
Oh, yeah. All that when they say, look out behind you to the feature.
And they actually threw in all three of them.
What getting him on the grappling, which he murders later on.
Oh god, they didn't even take the opportunity for the classic trope of, I'm not gonna fall for that.
Also, we pointed out that White Monster General, she had a good time this episode.
Oh, the tentacle squid thing monster.
Whatever the hell that was.
Bit where
squid octopus thingy. Got tentacles.
She seemed to be enjoying an attack a little bit too much.
Yeah, especially when she turned to aqua form or when she had tentacles. It's always.
Her eyes were on, her eyes were off.
Yeah.
Her eyes are on,
her eyes are off. Probably knocked out the freaking electrics in the head, and I'm thinking, well, it's the last episode she'll be in.
No,
what's the fucking point?
I know she's back.
I thought it was in the second and third episode, but
well, this is the second episode with the Grabloids and the idiocy from the generals. Third one,
well, I'm sure she was in the. Wasn't she in the third one? I'm sure they did it again.
Was it a two-parter on the Nexus? Because, oh, we didn't even comment on the laundromat scene.
Oh, God. The massively oversized laundromat where they go, oh, no, we have to find people. Run in and just start throwing everyone's washing on the floor.
All about the fact Dom hid it in a fucking Chinese restaurant in the middle of nowhere.
I'd say the safest place I know. I've traveled all the way around the world.
In between the chair.
Under the cushion at a Chinese restaurant.
No one would
look here.
It's too disgusting to put your hand down.
Apart from, you know, the people that run the restaurant and have to clean.
Can you imagine being the health inspector opening that up? He's like, what the hell is this? A weapon? What the hell's going on here?
You're being shut down.
Could you imagine the look on Dom's face if they went there and it's actually been bulldozed down during the parking lot? Oh, shit!
Yeah, probably should have hidden it somewhere on your own property.
Also, the entire premise of how they lost it was inane. They borrowed a taxi with a couple taking four baskets of washing to a laundromat.
Was it a couple first?
Yeah, it was a couple.
Yeah, there was a guy in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he got in the front.
Husband.
Whatever. I thought that was. Oh, I didn't notice him.
Yeah, the taxi driver was a like Indian guy.
Not being a stereotype and everything.
Yeah, because they used a New Zealand taxi because the guy was driving on the right hand side. Mm. Whereas if someone...
No, it's America! Wink, wink.
That's why he's driving on the right half of the car.
Yeah, and you know, I know of no laundromat ever that looked like that. Big, airy, with just washing machines and dryers down one side of the wall each. Bearing in mind that this was, like, indoor court-sized room.
Oh, I'm sure there's obviously somewhere there's...
Yeah, maybe. But this, you know, normally you would have at least three rows in the middle in that space. Yeah.
Mm.
With a table between each. Yes, there was way too much space.
So, shenanigans happen. They finally get the brand new Rhino Zord, which is basically the White Tiger Zord, but now a rhino.
Yeah.
With making symbols out of thin air. Giant golden sword dick thing that keeps getting larger. So don't forget that. And what else happened? Was that the first three parts they finally get in the Zord?
Yeah,
and he only actually features for like 5 minutes of each episode, the white guy.
Was that like three episodes?
Yeah.
It was three episodes. Oh, right. Because episode four was the one where they meet the weird scientist lady who's investigating the crystal eyes. So a red ranger gets the bright idea of going in saying, "Hi, I need those. Can I have them, please?"
It's like, if you keep them, you'll be attacked by some crazy lady.
I don't believe you.
By the way, great and powerful evil is going to come and try and murder you and everyone you love if you don't let me look after these things. Nah, that's okay, I'll keep them.
You're
not going to try and prove it? No, you're just going to wander off and cry to your leader, "Oh, she wouldn't let me take the glass beady thing." No, you're not going to turn into a ranger and prove it.
Yeah.
Not that this isn't life and death of the planet or anything.
No.
To be fair, their leader is a stoner.
Yeah.
He's clearly Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
And he pretty much says, "Okay, just make sure the stones are alright. That's your priority. You can let her die."
Just
protect the stones.
Great job, RJ. I'm stoning with you at the time. And you know what's really...
To be fair, when it's the fake planet. Though, that being said, he should have just taken the fucking stones to begin with.
You know what's really depressing?
That problem. Yeah.
You know what's really depressing? RJ's like the best character in this series. The stone is the only one with a personality of any shape or form.
I think he's trying to be like Jack with his
Douche
is a personality.
Bookworm is a personality.
A very simple one.
To be fair, what a yellow and blue's personality? She's blonde, he's Asian, and so on.
His personality is Asian. It's like, yeah, to put a minor, you know, an ethnicity variant in here. You'll do.
I love the rumour going around that apparently, out of all the actors...
Oh, and because the stone is blatantly not New Zealand character. Not at all. Totally American looking.
I love the room about the story about Theo's casting. Apparently they interviewed like 6 or 7 actors and he was the best one.
I think they needed to broaden their search for cast.
Well, we found the better actor, but he doesn't know a word of English. That's fine, we'll do it in ADR. He's right.
No one will notice his size difference.
So basically, the Rangers end up fighting the Grazaka, who's like this general, and Dicey's all happy he's dead at last, and we sort of lit for 5 seconds in that episode, folks, which made Oliver go, "What the fuck is laughing?"
Who, what?
The fly flipped.
Oh, yeah, that's just... It looks like a Doctor Who monster.
Little fly with a microphone built in. He likes to talk over the Megasaur folks like a wrestling announcer. "And they used the pile driver! Oh, my God, the destruction! Oh god, was this the one where they threw Gazaka through three buildings?
Yeah, and killed
thousands of people, no doubt.
And caused a lot of money property damage. Now, I'm not sure if we mentioned this before, but it's a running theme I've seen in several Power Rangers things where there's a lot of property damage to the cities. Things are destroyed. Now, it was New Orleans, wasn't it? Was it New Orleans that got hit with the tornado and the floods and all that?
Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, Katrina.
Because the levees broke. Yeah.
And basically, the property damage there was in the tens of millions. It wasn't into the trillions. I'm not sure if it was into the billions, but it might have been. It would have taken roughly the entire national budget for about a year, year and a half to fix it. And I think it might have even been more for the rebuilding as well. So they basically went, no, that's a write-off. It's cheaper just to build a new city down the road or relocate everyone to other cities. And the property damage in the Power Rangers show, especially, for example, where it gets thrown through three skyscrapers, is way more damage than caused by that. So quite often, by the time you get halfway through these seasons, not things are rebuilt and ready to go again, no. The whole city's been shut and everyone's been kicked out because it's a wasteland.
You know what would have been funny if, like, during the fight, Gazaka sends a sword flying and they just suddenly, the sword crashes onto a shitload of people and then you just have someone, like one of the Rangers, shout, oh no, did we land on a load of people again?
Yeah, that tends to happen a lot.
Shit, guys, you just squats the school bus of orphans. Orphans, who gives a toss?
Ah, they were blind.
Hello, Kitty. Anywho, so, I love the fact that Finissa was just throwing the swords at him as well.
Yeah, oh god. Massive martial arts training, like entire centuries of martial arts training dedicated to defeating these monsters. What's their final plan? We're going to wave our arms around like spastics and swing them around like a windmill, running towards them in a straight line. That's your finishing move? And then your final finisher is to have the big Zord ride the rhino, throw the other Zords at it, and then wave your arms about while driving towards it.
At least
they were in sync.
Let's not forget one of those swords for the yellow was a penguin with headphones and a skateboard. Because when I think of ancient martial arts...
Yeah, that's just...
that are thousands of years old.
First thing you think of, isn't it? Skateboarding penguin.
So I think that's about it, really. This ends with the bad guys getting the crystallized or something, and then that's about it. So
everything looks like Lego, all the gadgets and everything else all look like Lego made.
So great, Adam.
Might give it a 2 and be generous.
Okay, Adam.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for 2.
Oliver?
I'm not sure. It
stays awake.
That terrible, I suppose. 2-ish, yeah.
It was better than
2 to 3. Stuff happened.
There's still another 3 episodes on that DVD, by the way.
Oh, goody.
No, don't worry, they get better. Trust me.
That's what you said. That's what you kept saying.
Hey, I told you to trust me with Town Called Panic, and that worked out, didn't it?
An exception to the rule.
Yeah.
All the things on the podcast you said, trust me on. Percentage is going to lean in
the opposite direction.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much should you trust Lee's recommendation for a good movie? come on, let's do this one. Heather?
Maybe a 3 or 4?
Generous.
Maybe 2.5.
Oh, I was going to say 2, 3. yeah, I think about 9 or 10 things we've
seen. The thing is, we go with it and watch them anyway, so.
Yeah, I know. But
just for that 1 in 100.
For the free pizza, that's what you go through for it.
Well, it's like you watch a film.
It's just funny to watch terrible films.
Yeah. So we watch a film and it's like 2 hours of suffering, and then we get half an hour to an hour good conversation after.
Yeah. I think that's one of the best parts about podcasting. So, anywho, folks, I hope you enjoyed this double bill, so to speak. And we'll see you all again soon, hopefully. Maybe. I don't know. Hoping to do something special next week because it's Alcon. But, anywho. Yeah, that's a time frame, by the way. This is the Sunday before Alcon, just to let you all know. Good night, listeners.
Night, everyone.
Night.